You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hi, and welcome to Hello Pine Knob, the podcast about everything that's going on at the historic Entertainment Amphitheater located in Independence Township, Michigan, just north of Detroit. I'm your host, Gary Graff, and our fifth episode of the summer is a busy one, featuring conversations with artists who will be playing at Pine Knob in the near future. Things are really heating up at Pine Knob right now, with a busy August and September ahead into the early days of October. And that means we have plenty to talk about now, and in our upcoming episodes. We're starting with some recent visitors who hit stages in the metro area, but took time to share their thoughts about playing at Pine Knob. First up is Shinedown, the rock troupe that recently played at Little Caesars Arena. But as drummer Barry Kirch tells us, Pine Knob is a home away from home after playing the venue 9 times.
I have nothing but fond memories. Pine Knob is it's a home away from home. You know, this band really... Detroit and the surrounding areas of Michigan itself helped found this band. I mean, from the small rooms, from, you know, the machine shop up in Flint and those different areas, this band, Michigan's always been a haven for us. It's always been something that supported us from the early, early days. And, you know, opening for bands in Pine Knob, including Three Doors Down, which was our first major tour, was tour through Pine Knob. I love Pine Knob. And one of my favorite things is it's backs up against the woods and that lake right there, and there's a bunch of stuff. One of my favorite things is getting up in the morning, getting my morning coffee and walking around. I found this little secret area. Well, it's probably not secret. I'm sure a bunch of people have gone there, but this little area that I love, which has like a little island that overlooks the lake, and I'll walk back in the woods and just sit there and watch the birds and everything else. That's a nice break from the concrete jungle behind me and arenas and things like that. It's nice to go out, and I'm a nature guy and I love to go out in the woods. So that's really nice. But yeah, what's cool about Pine Knob as well is it's stayed true to itself. Yeah, it's changed names a couple times, but the staff is always good. The place is great. It's a tight fit. It's a tight load in the backstage, and it's just this. But then the audience is just massive, and you're like, okay, this was worth all the stress throughout the day.
Shinedown has released three new singles in recent weeks: Dance Kid Dance, 365, and Killing Fields. And Kirch tells us that the quartet is well on its way to making its 8th album, the follow-up to 2022's Planet Zero.
Yeah, we are working towards an album, and it is coming. Like Shinedown, we don't rush anything, and it's just not quite there yet. We're like right there. I think we need maybe one or two more songs that we're happy with. I mean, we have a bunch of songs, but it's got to make cohesive sense. And this record is not going to be a concept record. This is a collection of songs. It's an old school record. Which I'm happy about because I don't have to explain a story. It's just songs. But it's close. And I think we're shooting for late winter, early spring of next year.
Also in town recently was AJR, who played at Pine Knob on July 29th. Its second headline date there. Jack Mett, one of three brothers who put the group together 20 years ago, tells us that the venue means a great deal to the trio.
I thought it was great. Detroit has always been really, really great to us. And amphitheaters in general are just like possibly the most fun venues to play, just like outside. They're so associated with summer and they just like kind of give us the best memories. So Detroit mixed with that, it's perfect combination.
This time out, it was just Jack and brother Ryan Mett on stage. Well, oldest brother Adam was busy promoting a new book. It was different, but still worked for the band and its fans.
For most of the tour, it's just going to be the three of us while Adam is doing his climate stuff. It's going to feel like there's someone missing for sure, but we're super proud of everything that Adam's doing. We've been together for 20 years, so to not have him on stage is definitely a different feeling.
AJR, by the way, will be releasing a new EP titled What No One's Thinking on August 29th. And now for our newly regular photographer showcase, discussing an iconic image from Pine Knob's past. On June 15, 2019, Garth Brooks made his one and only appearance at Pine Knob as the surprise special guest for that year's WYCD Hoedown. He played a 15-minute medley of his hits, and Pine Knob house photographer Mike Ferdinand was the only shooter granted access to capture Brooks that day. He tells us what the experience was like.
So it was the Hoedown at Pine Knob. It was DTE at the time. It was in between acts, and they had been teasing a special guest for weeks leading up to the concert, and no one really knew what to expect. And since I was shooting for the venue that day, I was the only one given access to photograph the special guest. I wasn't really sure what to expect, so I got to my normal position. And then before we knew it, Garth Brooks came out. Everybody went crazy, understandably. He talked to the crowd a little bit, and then he performed a handful of songs, and I still only had the three-song rule, which went a little bit faster this time because he didn't play full songs, but it was still incredible to get the opportunity to photograph Garth Brooks as the sole photographer for this special guest. And then immediately after, I rushed back to my computer so everyone could put a press release out about how he had just surprised everyone at the Hoedown.
Mike's photo can be viewed in the Hello Pine Knob section of the 313presents.com website and via social media. On now to coming attractions. Cyndi Lauper, who performed last fall at the Fox Theater, is bringing her Girls Just Want to Have Fun farewell tour to Pine Knob on Friday, August 1st. And yes, 42 years after She's So Unusual, Lauper really does mean it's goodbye.
So doing this tour, this last leg, yeah, it's to say goodbye like this chapter. It's not like I won't do something again, but I won't be packing and unpacking suitcases. And besides, Gary, if you ever saw the amount of luggage, which my husband refers to as furniture, it's too much. You know what I'm saying? Right now, I'm strong and I can do it.
Lauper has also been working hard to adapt the show from the indoor theaters she played previously to outdoor amphitheaters, which she says is a challenge.
I think it's going to be great, and it's more of a comfortable situation for the audiences because they can have picnics, they can, you know, they can relax or not, or have fun, have a party. You know what I'm saying?
The ultimate goal, Lauper says, is to make sure everyone has a good time.
I think it's important that we all share and have fun together and bring people together and make them feel happy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer. First 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Because sometimes you could not feel so happy. And I think that we need to remember that, well, for me anyway, I'm in the field of humanities. So as a human, I need to connect as a human to other humans. And so that's why I always felt my work was important and tried my hardest to make it the best I could because I want to contribute to humanity. And that is important. And to share your stories. When people leave the show, and you saw the show, people leave happy and they come dressed up And to me, that's great because I'm dressing up for them. So I think it's fun that they dress up for me.
Off the stage, Lauper has a busy fall coming up. After winning a Tony Award as part of the Kinky Boots team, Lauper's next musical, an adaptation of the film Working Girl, opens in La Jolla, California during the first week of November. Then on November 8th, she'll be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame during ceremonies in Los Angeles.
I'm honored. I'm glad to be among the women that have been acknowledged. I think that rock and roll is a community of people who have been involved in great change in the world. And we are kind of ambassadors as we travel all through the world. We're American ambassadors. But what we do, really, what we should be doing is to make the world better and bring people together.
Once again, that's Cyndi Lauper at 7:30 p.m. Friday, August 1st at Pine Knob. The following night, Saturday, August 2nd, brings Bare Naked Ladies back to Pine Knob with its latest Last Summer on Earth tour, a package that also features Sugar Ray and Fastball. The Canadian quartet has performed at Pine Knob more than 20 times before, and a fully clothed Ed Robertson tells us that it's always one of the band's favorite stops.
It is the encrusted jewel in the belt buckle of the Bare Naked belt. You know, it's in many ways where it all started for us. And, you know, lots of people chalked it up to Canadians traveling to Detroit, not realizing it was people from all over Michigan traveling to Michigan to see us. And Ohio and Illinois. And it's really what wrote the first story of American success for Bare Naked Ladies was playing in Detroit and ultimately, of course, Pine Knob. So it's a home away from home for us. It's been the site of many end of tour parties. And this year will be no exception. It's the final show in the tour. And we are really looking forward to it.
The Last Summer on Earth packages have become a regular part of Bare Naked Ladies' touring world, and Robertson tells us that this year's edition holds up to the high standard set by its predecessors.
It has been really fun. It's been a really fun summer. And, you know, we started off spending a month with our old friends, Guster, who it's always a good time. And then Sugar Ray came on board for the second half, and it's been so much fun. Mark McGrath is a rock and roll force for good. He is at the side of our stage singing and dancing through every show. It's ridiculous.
Robertson says that after 9 Last Summer on Earth tours, Bare Naked Ladies has become pretty good at knowing what's going to work best for the band and for its fans.
I think ultimately, we want to bring people out that are good live, that are entertaining, that have a certain, you know, cachet of recognizable songs. It's kind of all part of the package. It feels so nice to walk out in front of an audience that I feel like has already been thoroughly entertained. You know, I think some bands find that threatening, and we just don't. For us, it just raises the bar. And, you know, I think people are having a really good time. The bands are having a really good time, and audiences are having an even better time, I think.
With 14 albums, meanwhile, Bare Naked Ladies has plenty of material to choose from. And Robertson tells us that makes it challenging for putting concert set lists together.
It's a discussion that we have as we rehearse for the tour. Leading up to the tour, we all kind of jot down songs that we'd like to reapproach or that we'd like to be doing on the tour. And then every day we just kind of throw in a couple of, you know, I don't want to say curveballs, but there's a couple of songs in the set always that we call swappables. And so it's like, okay, this is a good spot for an upbeat deep cut, you know, so we can throw something in there every sound check is a rehearsal for us, a chance to brush up on those couple of songs that we maybe haven't played in a while. It keeps us on our toes. And we also have fans that come out to many, many shows. So it's nice for them that they see different things.
Bare Naked Ladies' last album, In Flight, came out during 2023. And this year it's released an EP with acoustic versions of some of the same songs. Is there a new Bare Naked Ladies on the horizon? Robertson says that.
We've got summer touring plans in the works already for next year. I don't know if a new record is going to happen before that. I suspect not. I'm certainly going to get a bunch of writing done in the next couple of months, but I don't think we're going to get in and make a record. For me, it just takes the pressure off, which I've been able to do over the last couple of records, is just write without pressure in a way that I really like. I've always written under a deadline and under the gun, basically. And okay, I got 2 weeks to write now. I got to write a whole record because we work so much, you know. And when we're not touring and kind of forward facing, we're doing private gigs, we're doing charity stuff, we're doing other projects. So we're really busy all the time. And so then it ends up like, okay, well, we're going in the studio in March. So I've got the first 2 weeks of February booked off for writing. I'm like, what? So with the last record, we booked 3 months off for writing, and it was a great feeling. And I wrote without pressure and without a deadline, and it was much nicer. So I'm looking ahead to winter and spring this year as a good opportunity to have a leisurely writing process. And I don't think we'll hit the studio before the summer, so I've got lots of time, and that feels good.
Once again, that's Bare Naked Ladies' Last Summer on Earth Tour 2025 with Sugar Ray and Fastball on Saturday, August 2nd at Pine Knob. The Doobie Brothers are certainly no stranger to Pine Knob. The group has been playing there since 1974 and has stopped scores of times since, including last August. Its August 4th performance will be the start of the North American leg of a tour supporting a new album, Walk This Road, the Doobies' 16th studio set. It's the group's first album to involve Michael McDonald full-time since One Step Closer in 1980, and the first time since Taking It to the Streets in 1976 that both McDonald and founding member Tom Johnston worked on an album together. That's something that was particularly joyful for bandmate Patrick Simmons.
Incredible expectations in terms of what the guys would come up with. I think in the end, it was more than fulfilled in that regard. I feel like both those guys wrote, every song that they wrote is compelling, is well performed. I think they're both at the top of their game right now. It's like, it's crazy to say that, all of us now are in our 70s. So, it's like, really? On top of his game? Yeah, I think that both these guys have, in terms of what they're doing right now, it's right up there with, I think it follows the legacy that they set for themselves in terms of what they're capable of and what they've done in the past and are, continuing to produce. For me, I'm just like kind of astounded, to be honest. I'm completely thrilled with the way the album ended up and my own songs, I'm feeling really good about everything. All three of them, that I wrote for this record, I feel great about, where they ended up. So that's kind of where I'm at. I feel really good about the record.
Ann Simmons notes, there's a joy to having new material to play alongside the decades worth of hits in the Doobies catalog.
Probably the biggest perk of stuff like this is to have the chance to to add some new tunes and challenge ourselves a little bit. Do something different.
This year's tour finds the Doobie Brothers in their 55th year with 16 top 40 hits on the Billboard Hot 100 and inductions into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the Vocal Group Hall of Fame, and more recently, the Songwriters Hall of Fame. Simmons tells us there are several factors behind the group's enduring popularity.
In terms of our success, it really is the songs and the talented guys that write the material, I think. And then we have a great band. We've always had really great musicians. So I think that really is long lasting in terms of how people perceive the band at any given time. We always had great players, you know, great singers. Everybody was able to present their ideas and participate with everything in terms of writing, arranging, any creative ideas that helped with the formation of the tunes. Everybody was a part of that. And I think that was a real strength and still is. You know, it's kind of things, we still do things pretty much the same way for the most part.
Opening for the Doobie Brothers on August 4th will be the Coral Reefer Band, making its first appearance in the metro area since its founder and leader, Jimmy Buffett, passed away during September of 2023. Longtime band member Mac McAnally, who also co-wrote songs with Buffett, tells us Pine Knob has always been a special place in the Parrothead Nation.
I always felt like, and we had, he and I had this conversation a few times, you know, Jimmy, to a lot of places all over, he represents the beach and salt water and relaxation and escapism. But we always felt like that there's maybe half a dozen markets, some of them Northeast, some of them Midwest, but Detroit definitely being one of them, that we felt like we were bringing the beach to Detroit. It always seemed more urgent to play for the folks there, because a lot of them couldn't, you know, they didn't have an opportunity to go to where there was sun and you know, in the wintertime or in the fall so they could come see Jimmy one night, get a babysitter and park and tailgate and feel like they had a 4 or 5 day vacation, you know, in the island somewhere. And that's, you know, being able to give someone that is of value. It was a more intense experience between us and the audience in Detroit. Just for instance, when we played in Florida, it was great. You see Jimmy Buffett in Florida, but they've got the beach and they've got the palm trees and they have the salt water. So while it was a great show and a great crowd, it was less immediate, intense, urgent for those folks because of where they are, because they already have some of the things that we're essentially bringing to Detroit musically. And we always felt like, and he always felt like it was an intense connection with the folks up there at Pine Knob. And you can't help but be energized by that. And we're looking forward to it. I think it's a great place to open the tour up.
The Coral Reefer's goal, according to McAnally, is to both honor and maintain Buffett's great musical legacy.
The prime directive really is to honor the legacy that Jimmy did such a fine job of building. But there is clearly no replacing him. We're going to leave his mic open in the middle of the stage and his guitar on a stand. He specifically wanted the music to live on, and we want the music to live on. And I think there is great benefit to humanity for his music to live on. So as far as us and his crowd, it's a family reunion. You know, Jimmy built a fan base that wasn't based on hit records or selling anything in particular, although he's good at selling all kinds of things, or you wouldn't see the whole Margaritaville empire be what it is. But it was really based on a guy that you knew was coming to your town and was going to have at least as good a time as you. He was the happiest guy there most times we ever played. And it made people want to come and be connected to that, be part of that. And sure. So it's like a family reunion for his fans and his band to go sing those songs that brought so much joy and that have so much joy left in them to go forward.
McAnally adds that opening for the Doobie Brothers is an appropriate way for the Coral Reefers to make their first national tour.
I think it's just a really cool pairing to play with the Doobies, because they at one point, I mean, at various times, Jimmy has opened for them, and I think they at one point opened for him along the way too. All obviously before my time, but in my case, I struggled to play cover material of theirs because of how awesome their vocals are. When I was a teenager, there were Doobie Brother hits that we took a shot at playing, but almost nobody can mimic their vocals. They're one of the great American rock and roll bands that's ever been, and we're very honored to try to set the stage for them.
Parrotheads will also be happy to hear from McAnally that there may be more Buffett songs in the future.
There's not as many as, you know, like what the giant backlog they talk about with Prince and that sort of, there's nothing like that. But there's enough recorded and unreleased to make an album. Most of that recorded stuff I have, so I wouldn't want to assemble a project that was just a release for its own sake. But I've got to go back and address some of it. He never really did what he considered a final vocal on, so I wouldn't want to put anything out that I feel like he wouldn't be happy about. But there is definitely, there's definitely some good stuff that's there, and at some point it'll get put together. But at this point, we're sort of more concerned with keeping the party going, as he put so well, and his fans are interested in that as well. So the tour comes first, and then in the break from the tour, I'm going to open up some hard drives and some old analog tapes and see what we have under the hood.
Once again, that's the Doobie Brothers and the Coral Reefer Band opening their North American tour on Monday, August 4th at Pine Knob. And that's it for this episode of Hello Pine Knob. Hello Pine Knob is produced by Ryan Anderson for Odyssey and is available wherever you get your podcasts or through the 313 Presents website. 313presents.com also has all the information you need about concerts coming to Pine Knob, as well as other venues around the metro area. I'm Gary Graff. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you out on the hill.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.